Mr. Stevens or Mrs. Stevens?
May it please the court. We've raised three issues on appeal. First issue is whether there was a conspiracy to possess or traffic in false 94 records of entry or departure. The second issue is whether the court applied the proper guideline in sentencing Mr. Shee. And the third has to do with the court's finding as to role in the offense. If Mr. Shee had been charged in count one of this case with going to Indiana to defraud the state of Indiana by securing a false Indiana ID card, I wouldn't be standing here arguing sufficiency of the evidence. That's not what he was charged with. Mr. Shee was charged in this case with a conspiracy to possess or transfer a false I-94 immigration document.
May I ask you something? In your view, is there evidence showing that Mr. Yu had agreed to pay Mr. Shee for both the Indiana ID and the INS I-94?
Your Honor, the evidence shows that Mr. Yu was legally in the United States. He wanted an identification card. He contacted Mr. Yu, who could supply that identification card, and he hired Mr. Shee to take him to Indiana to get that identification card.
Is the answer yes or no?
The answer is no. They arrived in Indiana. At that point, Mr. Yu showed Mr. Shee his passport, which contained an I-94, which was in Chinese.
So Mr. Shee was going to do all this for no money?
Mr. Shee was...
out of friendship.
Mr. Shee was being paid $100 to take Mr. Yu to Indiana to get an identification card. A problem developed when they got to Indiana.
The answer is yes.
I may have misunderstood your question.
What was he going to pay him for what he was about to do?
He was going to pay him to go to Indiana to get an Indiana identification card. There's no question about that. However, the agreement was that he would go to Indiana to get him an identification card. The problem with the I-94 did not develop until they arrived in Indiana. Once they arrived in Indiana, Mr. Shee looked at the passport, looked at the I-94 card, discovered the I-94 card was in Chinese, and at that point said, I've got to do something about this, they won't take this, went to the back of the car, prepared a false I-94 card, and then Mr. Shee took that I-94 card, the passport, and proceeded to attempt to negotiate for an identification card.
So could he have been prosecuted federally for forging an I-94?
I think there's no question about it. Had Mr. Shee been charged...
So your complaint is just the conspiracy, that he was charged with a conspiracy?
Yes, sir. He was only charged with conspiracy. He was not charged with a substantive offense. Had he been charged with a substantive offense of possession of a false I-94 card, I think there's no question but that there was sufficient evidence to show that. The question is, was Mr. Yu a part of that conspiracy? What the evidence shows is that Mr. Yu was legally in the United States, that he
is
wanted...
Is he the only alleged conspirator with Xi?
He is the only conspirator that the government presented evidence with regard to. There is no evidence that... any other identification cards were false. Now, Mr. Yu had false documents in his possession, but there's no evidence that he, in fact, used any of those false documents in his possession. Mr. Yu did state, let me switch names here. Mr. Shee did state that he had taken approximately a dozen people to Indiana to get identification cards. However, those individuals could get an identification card if they had an I-94, which was in English. There's no evidence whether any of those...
So is your argument basically that Shee is just selling these false cards? Is that just like a drug seller or something, as opposed to you being part of some organization? Is that the...
I think it goes a little deeper than that, Your Honor. Number one, there's no question that Mr. Shee was in the business of selling these identification cards, and certainly a buyer-seller relationship is not enough to trigger a conspiracy. But in this case, it goes...
Isn't that your argument? I mean, that the you is not part of an organization. You is just a customer of she. Isn't that your basic argument?
That's part of the argument. The other part of the argument is there's no evidence that Mr. Yu even knew that Mr. She was going to produce a false I-94, or that he agreed...
Well, but she had informed you that his legal documents were no good, and you didn't say, oh my goodness, stop, don't do anything. I mean, there's a strong inference, isn't there, that she would do what was necessary in order to obtain the ID?
There is no evidence that you knew before she had in his custody all of the documents. There is no evidence that she instructed Mr. Yu to do anything. There is no evidence that you did anything other than stand by while she proceeded to prepare this document and attempt to negotiate it. With regard to the appropriate guideline, what I've argued is that Judge Lozano found that United States Sentencing Guideline 2L2.1 was the applicable guideline. The statute cross-references both 2L2.1 and 2B2.1.
Well, that what, you know, 2L2.1 covers document fraud that's, quote, used to assist another to violate a law pertaining to immigration. Wasn't Mr. Yu attempting to violate a law pertaining to immigration? In other words, isn't forging an official immigration document alone a violation of the laws that pertain to immigration?
2B2.1, the commentary says that it applies unless the law pertaining, it's a violation of the law pertaining to naturalization, which it was not, citizenship, which it was not, or legal resident status. There was no misrepresentation as to legal resident status.
Okay, why don't you stay the rest of your time?
Thank you.
Ms. Hedge?
Good morning. We do believe that there was ample evidence on the record to support the conspiracy.
I don't understand that. I mean, you is just a buyer, isn't he? He's not part of some organization for forging documents or what have you.
Well, he was a buyer, but more than a buyer, Your Honor. He had learned that Mr. Shi could provide to him an ID card. There's many inferences in the record that the ID card was going to be something very special to him. We pointed out in our brief he's getting the ID card.
Why is it any different from someone who wants to buy drugs? This fellow wants an identification card. Someone else wants drugs. He's not part of Xi's organization.
No, that's true, but he didn't just buy a card from Mr. Xi. He obtained a false document for Mr. Xi, saw basically Mr. Xi preparing the false document, knew that Mr. Xi had attached the false document.
Well, I don't understand you. That would be the same in a drug drug deal.
Well,
you want to buy drugs and you go to someone's house to buy the drugs and you know they're illegal and what's the difference?
When you go back to the specific conspiracy charge in this case, Your Honor, Mr. Xi was charged with a 1028F conspiracy, two prongs, conspiring with Mr. Yu to knowingly transfer.
But now you understand, don't you, that a mere seller-buyer relationship is not a conspiracy.
But they agreed.
Would you acknowledge that much?
Yeah, they agreed.
So what is the more here?
They agreed to commit another crime other than just the transaction with the card, Your Honor.
What was the other crime?
We say that they agreed to knowingly transfer the false ID to the BMV and to knowingly possess it. So Mr. Xi was convicted of...
But I didn't understand you. If you want to...
He could have just bought the card.
You're saying that if someone buys drugs, you could charge them with a conspiracy to consume the drugs, right? Oh. First he buys it, then they have a conspiracy that he eats them, right? Whatever you
do. I suppose theoretically, Your Honor.
No, if that's your position, it's no good, right? You can't lever a buy-sell relationship into a conspiracy just by saying that the buyer, after he buys the drugs is going to do something with them.
Well, the agreement, the agreement was to violate those two other laws. And we think that takes it out of just the buyer-seller drug situation.
Why? We seem to know that Mr. Shee was a rather regular visitor to this facility. Why didn't the government, if the record tells us, why didn't the government add some of those other visitors to this to the indictment?
I'm not sure I can answer that question, Your Honor, and I apologize.
Okay.
I should have anticipated that question, so I can't really answer it. But they didn't know the individuals, I believe, and would have had trouble making those charges. And so apparently chose to charge
it. So your position, all of Shee's customers are members of the conspiracy?
Well, not a larger conspiracy with the other individual conspiracies, Your Honor.
That's what I understand. She is in the business of procuring these false cards. Why does that make all his customers conspirators with him?
Well, because they're agreeing to commit another offense.
What is the other offense?
Actually, two offenses. To knowingly possess.
Well, that I don't understand.
And knowingly transfer.
I don't understand at all, because that sounds like the drug case, which you would charge as a conspiracy to knowingly possess the drugs. Right? That's the logic of your position.
Well, we still maintain, Your Honor, that the agreement was to commit a different offense than just...
But look, think of it in the drug case. Are you arguing that the government could charge that when someone sells drugs to another person, they are conspiring to knowingly possess the drugs? Is that what you're arguing?
No, it would depend on what the relationship was between the buyer and the seller, Your Honor, as to whether there was a separate agreement to violate another offense, and we maintain that there was in this case.
Sorry. I take it that your office does green card fraud cases?
Yes.
How do you charge those? In the same manner?
Oh, and I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't know any specific cases. They could be charged under a specific statute. It would depend on the circumstances. Mm-hmm. In this case, it was charged under 1028 because of the identification card being the heart of...
Mr. Grosvenor's question points out, your approach would permit you to charge any document crime as conspiracy, because in any document crime, the document is sold to be used for something. Right, you don't swallow the document. You don't inject the document in your veins.
Well, it depends on what the use is.
Well, suppose, for example, you had a person who sells false driver's licenses. Now, on your theory, everybody who buys the false driver's license is a conspirator with the seller, because he's going to use the license to, you know, get some advantage, get a job that he's not entitled to.
Well, that might not be illegal, that use, Your Honor, but in this case, the transferring
not
of...
Not illegal to drive with a phony driver's license? That's certainly illegal.
That would be, but...
Precisely, so that's your argument, right? Your argument is that if someone buys a phony driver, someone who can't drive, buys a driver's license from some fraud, someone like she. Your argument is that the seller of the false driver's license could be charged with conspiracy because he knows that the buyer of the false license is going to use it to drive, and that driving is a separate crime, driving with when you're not authorized to drive.
Well, he wouldn't necessarily know if in that case, Your Honor, as to what was going to happen. In
of course
case,
he'd know. He would know that the person who bought the phony license was going to drive, and that is a crime, right? crime to drive when you don't have a license.
Yes, but how would he know, Your Honor, that he was the person was going to do that? I mean, might be a presumption.
Oh, please, use your common sense. If someone pays good money to buy a driver's license, it's because he wants to drive with it, right? And that's criminal.
Or buy liquor underage, which is the same thing.
Right. And that's some other. If you have phony documents, you use them to commit illegal acts. And so your theory is that any crime involving the sale of a false document is a conspiracy. I mean, any sale of a false document is a conspiracy with the purchaser.
I guess the answer would be yes, Your Honor. Has
a court ever embraced such a theory?
I don't know, Your Honor. As long as
you have no support for it. It was just made up for this case.
No, there were two specific statutes that were violated by the conduct.
Yes, and they are in my example of the false license also. A law against selling false documents and a law against driving with a false document.
Well, Section 1028F, we believe, specifically states in this circumstance that if two people agree to violate sections of this statute, in this case it was A2 and A6, that is a crime, and the crime is conspiracy. It could perhaps be in the special context.
But of course, she is indifferent to what you does with this phony card. So it's not as if she is part of a conspiracy that has an objective of enabling you to do something with this card. All she wants to do is to sell the card. So there's no larger conspiracy as far as she is concerned.
Well, not larger conspiracy perhaps, but she knew that the card was going to be transferred to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. It was one of those identification documents that would be accepted. So it was a simple illegal agreement, we say. And she agreed to do this, prepared the document, and the agreement was that the document would be, the thrust of it was be transferred to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. And that is the crime under 1028F.
Okay,
I
thank
that concludes
you,
the time.
Mr. Stevens, how much time does he have?
3 minutes. Thank you.
The government said that there was an agreement to commit another crime. There was only one agreement, and that agreement was that Mr. Yu hired Mr. Shi to take him to Indiana to get a phony identification card. The record is not even clear that he knew he was getting a phony identification card, but clearly he was going to Indiana to get an identification card, a state identification card. When they arrived in Indiana, the documents that he had were not sufficient. She provided him with an I-94 in English, which carried all of the appropriate information as to identification, at least his name, his citizenship, his entry date, his exit date, and his status, and attempted to secure a card. The crime that these two men were attempting to commit, or the crime that Mr. Shi took Mr. Yu to Indiana to commit, was getting a false state identification card. Mr. Yu hired him to do that. In the process, he sold a false I-94 card to Mr. Yu. There is no conspiracy to possess or transfer a false I-94 card.
I'd like to ask you, what decides whether the I-94 is in Chinese originally or in English originally?
Testimony at the trial was that when an individual enters the United States, there are racks of these cards in various languages. The individual can take whatever language they're comfortable with.
So, in other words, if he had taken the English card, then Mr. Shi would not have had to translate it into English.
That's correct. And with an English I-94 card and a Chinese passport and a statement of address, the state of Indiana did not verify the address at that time. He could have obtained the Indiana identification card without the necessity of preparing the false I-94 card. The false I-94 card was prepared only because the state of Indiana requires an English translation, or an English version is more appropriate.
I was going to say,
yes,
the version, not the translation.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Stevens, you were appointed, were you not?
That's correct.
So we thank you for your efforts on behalf.
Thank you.